Are you truly ready to share the message that changes everything? Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and appearance with those around you today? Discover the secret sauce that unlocks all of Scripture. Find out how one message can transform hearts, change lives, and even shape the public square. So let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Hey, if you're enjoying these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, place in your huddle if you're in that Washington Defender app, because we know that we're changing the heart so that we can change the public square. We're going to start a new series called The Gospel. And I got to be transparent with you. This message of the gospel to me is so incredibly important. It unlocks all the things from Old Testament to New Testament of God. When you understand God's secret sauce that Jesus Christ is plan A, it is going to revolutionize and change how you view the Scriptures. So today's sub-series is Eager to Preach, and Romans chapter 1, verse 15 through 17 says this, "So for my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel." Now the first question you should ask yourself is, do I know what the gospel is? What is that message that am I supposed to proclaim? Do I know the definition of gospel? How am I supposed to share that? Am I eager to preach that today? He says, "I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel." There it is again. "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." So let's start out by defining the gospel message. And the best, most concise scripture we have that defines the gospel comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. It says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand." So he preached the gospel, we received the gospel, we stand in the gospel, by which also you are saved. We're saved by the gospel. "If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." In other words, you can have a vain belief in the gospel. He says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Now, you may be driving right now, and I know you can't take down a note, but if you are sitting and listening, you need to write this down. "I delivered to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." So death of Christ. "That he was buried." What is the relationship between death and burial? Well, death is an action, and burial is the evidence that you're dead. When you get buried, you're dead. "And that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Write that down, the third thing. Raised on the third day, the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. Now, did you notice that in both areas it says according to the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures? That means in the Old Testament, we will see the death and resurrection of Jesus, because that would be the Scriptures that Paul is referring to. So we have death, burial, resurrection, and that he appeared. Now, what is the evidence that you resurrect? If someone resurrects, you got to have something. You got to appear. You got to show yourself to people to prove that you are alive. "And that Jesus appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and after that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also." So we see that God, through his son Jesus Christ, had death, burial, resurrection, appearance, and that is what Paul labels as the gospel message. We know this because Paul says, "I want you to stand in it. I want you to receive it. This is what you're saved by if you hold fast the words which I preach," which Paul preaches. So Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Jesus was buried. Jesus was raised on the third day, and Jesus appeared. So what does the word eager? He said he was eager to preach the gospel message. He was eager to preach Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and appearance. Well, the word eager simply means predisposed, ready, willing, prompt. I'm ready to go, meaning that we have a readiness to do our part in this situation. And I want to encourage you, as you go into the public square today, are you ready to preach the death, burial, resurrection, and appearance of Jesus Christ? Are you ready to stand in the death, burial, resurrection, and appearance of Jesus Christ? I hope you are, because it's the gospel message. We need to have an eagerness to preach that gospel message. So the question that comes to your mind next might be, are we all truly sinners? Romans 3:9 says, "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin." That right there is so incredibly important. It now tells us what the point of the law is. The point of the law was to show us that we're sinful. And we're going to see later on in Romans where he says, "I've written my law on your hearts." It is to point us to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Because why? When we understand that we're sinful, there's none righteous, no, not even one, that our throat is an open grave, that death is in our path, then we understand that we need a Savior. And Paul is laying out this, "I'm eager to tell you that Jesus died for you, O wretched sinner, for me, O wretched sinner." He says, what do we do? Well, Peter says it this way: "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said, 'Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Repent and be baptized. I love this about what Peter is saying to us. We need to come to a place of repentance, and then we give an outward expression of what God has done inwardly through baptism, that we begin to say to a testimony to the world, "I am saved through the death, burial, resurrection, and appearance." Now think about this for a moment. When you're baptized, you're standing out of the water, you go underneath the water, death, burial, resurrection, you come up out of the water, and you look at the audience again, appearance, or the people around you when you're baptized. And so we see that the gospel message is done through baptism. "For this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God would call to himself." So when we think about being baptized, that we're all sinners, and that we think of repentance, what happens after we repent and we're baptized? "For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins." When you are saved, when you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are transferred from one kingdom into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now think about that. There's a kingdom transfer that takes place. Are you eager today as you walk into your workplace to see that transfer that could take place for somebody, to express that they're a sinner, that they need a Savior, that Jesus paid the price for their sins and he rose again that they may have eternal life? Do you know that you carry that into where you're going today? Because the same Jesus that died on the cross for your sins is the same Jesus that resurrected from the dead, and he dwells inside of you. The gospel message dwells inside of you today. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature." So they go from this kingdom to that kingdom, and they become new creatures. "The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." Now think about that for a moment. Can you imagine taking that newness of life into the public square today, sharing it with someone around you, that you're eager to preach and communicate the gospel message, that Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and appearance is for them? Your eyes are going to be open today for the need to share the gospel with somebody. So what's our application for today? Be eager to preach the death of Jesus to people. Now, preach doesn't mean you're doing like I'm doing right here. It means simply to communicate, to teach, to allow people to know and see. Yes, we need to have lifestyle evangelism where they see and watch our lives, but we also need to use our words. Eager to preach the death, eager to preach the burial or the evidence of Jesus, eager to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus, and eager to proclaim that Jesus appeared to 527 people. Will you be willing today to share this good news with somebody else, to preach the gospel with a coworker, with a nurse if you happen to be in the hospital right now? Maybe you're taking care of kids, with your kids, with someone at the coffee shop. Would you be willing to share this gospel message? Now, sometimes I'm asked, how does the gospel and all this play into policy and what family policy does? Well, let me tell you something. You can't change policy by debate or argument or frustration or anger. You change policy by changing the heart. And the only thing that I know that changes the heart is the gospel message. It's Jesus's power of the Holy Spirit abiding in a human being that begins to change their worldview. And so we're here today with you, and we're proclaiming to you the gospel, and we're asking you, will you go out there and preach it to others today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Washington State. Lord, I just thank you that you have called us out of darkness into the light. God, we pray for our elected officials. We pray for Bob Ferguson. We pray for others that they will come out of the kingdom of darkness and be placed or transferred into the kingdom of light. God, change their hearts from the inside out. Go before them. For those who may have just a nominal belief of you or a traditional view of you, let the gospel message set deep into their hearts into an intimate way. Let them be changed and transformed today. God, I pray for our defenders today that as they go out, that they would be able to see and to know who they are to share with, and there would be an eagerness, a readiness to say, I'm ready, put me in the game. I'm here to harvest. I'm here to bring in that final fruit. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you haven't become a financial partner with FPIW or FPIW Action, I want to encourage you to do that. That's how we keep these kind of programs going. Your monthly support of $5, $10, $25, $100 a month, whatever it might be, is incredibly helpful for us to disciple the public square. We want to keep this coming out each and every day. Why? Because we want you to listen to this on your drive into work and be encouraged that today is a day that you can do something great for Almighty God. He is with you, that he goes before you, and he surrounds you. Like we like to say around here, go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard